invite you to stand as you are able for the gospel. The Holy Gospel today comes from the book of St. Luke, the 24th chapter. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest siblings, grace and peace to you from our holy Creator and Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. I don't know if you can tell from here, right? I live a very healthy lifestyle. Clearly. Here it is. I have a gym membership. I've had one for a couple years now, even. I don't use it. I don't go to the gym, but I have a gym membership. Good enough, right? If you were to go onto my Pinterest account and look at my little food section, I have highlighted on my Pinterest tons of healthy recipes for meals. I mean, tons. I probably have more healthy recipes on my Pinterest than unhealthy recipes. I don't make any of those meals, though. But that's the same thing, right? I mean, that's good enough. I have a gym membership. I have a collection of healthy recipes. That's good enough, isn't it? I mean, no. Obviously, that's terrible. I do frequently tell people I have one of those gym memberships where you just give money to the gym every month, but never go. It's a really good deal. And anyone who legitimately tried to say that kind of a thing, that's good enough, we would know that they are lying to themselves. Yet, I think that maybe we treat our faith this way, and don't often think that perhaps we are lying to ourselves in that area. You know, we come to church every Sunday, and this is not Bethania people. This is many, many Christians. We come to church every Sunday. We genuinely believe in God, in Jesus. We read the Bible sometimes. I'm sure we're very proud to call ourselves Christians. If someone were to ask, "Are you a Christian?" I'm sure we would say, "Yeah, absolutely. I'm a Christian. I go to church every Sunday. I believe in God. I read the Bible." That's good enough, right? Very much like the disciples. The Gospels portray the disciples as having this very passive relationship with what they are encountering. They are Jesus' inside group, They've got a lot of status for that reason. And they're traveling with him for these 3 years of Jesus' ministry, watching him heal people, watching him proclaim these incredibly radical and inclusive messages to the people in the area, watching these crowds flock to him. We have in the Gospels just a very small snippet where Jesus tells them to actually go out and do stuff. But for the most part, it's a very passive relationship. One where often the disciples say the equivalent of, "That's good enough, isn't it? That's good enough for us to have this status and this power and this authority as your right-hand people." And then the cross comes right into that process, right into that routine, right into that comfort, and completely rips it open, flips it right on its head. This story today that we read is a moment where Jesus is inviting these disciples who had been following him and listening to him and learning from him, where Jesus finally invites them to experience the resurrection in the light of the cross. In light of that moment where this cross comes into their routine and everything that they think is as it should be and completely flips it on its head. This is a story where Jesus invites these disciples to move beyond their intellect, their belief, his teachings, these lessons, this passive relationship, invites them beyond that into finally experiencing the cross and the resurrection. That's why we read this story of Jesus telling them physically, "Touch me, feel me, know that I am here. Give me something to eat. Witness that all of this craziness, everything you have experienced over the last few days, witness, experience that it's real. Feel it, taste it, smell it, sense it. Experience it." It's not until this experience right here, this moment where Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit into them, physically breathes it. This moment right here, the disciples finally get it, finally do what Jesus has been asking them to do, finally go to the place that Jesus has been trying to lead them to, experience this life, this kingdom of God that Jesus has brought at hand. It's not until they experience it that this beautiful world is opened up unto them and they finally go out into the world and love and share and invite others to experience this incredible faith too. You gotta have the experience. And you know, we have these moments in our lives all the time, whether we recognize them or not, where our experiences shape our reality. And I've got two stories. One, I come from the San Dimas area, and most people know us for two reasons. One, Bill and Ted's Most Excellent Adventure, San Dimas High School football rules. Their football team is terrible, by the way. My high school always destroyed their high school in football. And I remind Livia that all the time because she went to San Dimas High. But it's also known for Raging Waters. Any of you heard of Raging Waters? Yeah, it's their water park. I grew up going to Raging Waters, and Raging Waters had this one slide in particular called Dropout. And it was this slide that almost went completely vertical for about 100 feet. It doesn't do any twists or turns. You literally go to the top of it, and you go down, and you slide straight down for about 100 feet, and then it curves, and you level out. And I remember as a kid watching my older brother go on this slide thinking, that is the most terrifying thing ever. And he would tell me, no, it's amazing. It's exhilarating. You got to try it. And probably for 5 years of my life, I would stare at this slide and think about doing it. Many times I climbed right to the top, sat on the slide, got ready to go, and said, nope, nope. And then had to walk down the stairs as all of these other people are walking up. And they know, that kid couldn't do it. So many people would tell me, this ride is fun. You got to try it. You got to try it. You got to try it. You got to experience it. And for so long, I can hear that. I could intellectualize it. I could understand it. It made sense. If they're having fun, I probably will have fun too. But just something about being at the precipice of that slide, seeing it disappear from view, was terrifying. And I couldn't bring myself to do it until I did. And it was awesome. Oh my gosh, it was so much fun. You couldn't get me off of this slide. It was a moment where this experience shaped my reality. And I'm sure you've all had those moments in your life where you've heard about something over and over again. It's really not until you experience it that it comes to life. You have to have the experience. I was sitting at lunch the other day with a friend, a Catholic friend, who was telling me that someone asked him what God was like. And he's got this one-year-old son, and his son was with him. And he gave his son a hug. And there was so much love present in that moment. He said, that's God right there. I don't know how else to describe it, but God is just this embrace, this love. It's beyond comprehension, but every single time I hug my son, that's God. That's the only way I know how to explain it. That experience shapes his reality. We can come to church all we want. We can believe the right things. We can read the Bible. We can hear these stories over and over again, but I'll tell you right now, none of it's going to come to life until you step into this invitation of experience that Jesus is constantly, constantly, constantly trying to invite us to. And the moment you take this and you say it's all about trying to do a to-do list, or it's all about trying to get to heaven after you die, you've already lost it. You've already missed the point. Because the point is to take all of that belief, all of that intellect, all of these stories, everything you heard, the point is to take all of that and then step into this experience. You can hear all you want that you should forgive somebody, but it's not going to make sense to you how amazing that is until you finally do it. You can hear all you want that money doesn't really matter until you liberate yourself from it and donate to people in need or help someone who needs it. You can hear all you want that we are all children of God, but it's not going to make any sense until you go out and find someone that you can't possibly think is a child of God and discover in them God's very being. We, and myself included, are so often guilty of being these passive Christians. And don't get me wrong, we need the belief, we need the stories. But we have to have the experience with it. For no other reason except that when you step into that invitation, this beautiful, beautiful world is suddenly opened up to you. Amen. Please stand as you are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.